हरिः ॐ सहनावगतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Text 40.
But Nrisimha and Ram are equal to Krishna according to what was previously said. One should consult the Vishnu Purana for the answer. Some people may have this doubt, though it has been said that Krishna is a Swayamrupa. The author has also said that Nrisimha and Ram are equal to him. Did the author forget what he had previously said? This verse begins to remove that doubt. The author has not forgotten what he had said previously, but gradually progresses to describe Krishna after describing all others, just as one ascends a ladder step by step. Text 41 and 42. Tatra Maitreya Prashna Chaturte She Hiranya Kashi Putve Cha Ravana Tve Cha Vishnuna Avap Nihato Bhogan. Okay. Aprapyan Amarer Api Nalabhat Tatrachaiveha Sayujyam Cha Katampuna Samprapta Shishupala Tve Sayujyam Shashvate Harao. In the fourth part of the Vishnu Purana, Markandeya 4:15-1-2, Maitreya asked a question. The soul taking bodies of Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, on being killed by Vishnu, attained enjoyment unattainable even by the devatas. However, he did not attain liberation on being killed. Why did that soul, when he was born as Shishupal, attain liberation in the eternal Lord? In this statement, Sayujam does not mean merging into one form, but rather joining in the spiritual world. The etymology of the word is sayuja, which means having a close connection with. Also, the Shruti uses sayuja with the same meaning. Yo dakshine praniyate pitrinam evahi mahim manam gatva chandrasha sayujam svalokatam apnoti. He who dies during the southern course of the sun goes to the world of the Pitris, and joining with the god of the moon, attains his planet. And so they're showing that the Sayujam has other meanings. That means being close to or joining with. So it's used commonly that you're joining with Brahman, so they're taking it like that. But it doesn't specifically mean that. It just means joining with. But now it's taken to mean the liberation, and that's what it is. So as he mentioned here, the Shruti says these things. So here he's given an example that you can understand. It obviously does not mean liberation, right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Just so that it opens the door to other understandings. Otherwise, then the Mayavadis then have taken Sayuja as their main word, and then from that, then people think that liberation only means that.
Right.
Yes.
Is it the same meaning with yoga, to link with?
No, it says here being a close connection with. It means, yes, similar, but then you're...
Mm-hmm.
One seems to indicate more the situation, one is indicating the interaction. You kind of get the idea.
Yoga interaction.
No, yoga is just your situation. Because when you're saying yoga, it's just with that knowledge you'll gain that.
Yes.
While the other is showing that you're in proximity with, having a close connection with. So there's more of the interactive element.
Yes.
Though, of course, in the Brahman platform, there's not a whole lot of interaction, but, yes. You know, like that. But, you know, Brahman's not doing anything, you're not doing anything. Hey, it works. Right. Though Hiranyakashipu and Ravana were killed by the Lord, they did not attain liberation. But Shishupal, being killed by the Lord, attained liberation. Thus, are Narsingha, Rama, and Krishna the same Sarup, having the same qualities? Or are they graded as superior and inferior? Footnote 33. But you understand his point is that the Lord killed the same living entity in these three pastimes. But in the first two, they didn't attain liberation, but the last one they did. So therefore, from this, is there some difference between Krishna and Rama and Narsingha? Right?
Yes.
A very subtle point.
Yes.
Like that. Footnote 33. Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, and Shishupal are three appearances of the same Vaikuntha gatekeeper Jaya. Narsingadeva, Ramachandra, and Krishna are three appearances of the same personality of Godhead. Maitreya is therefore curious if there is some hierarchy among these three Paravashta Rupas of the Supreme Person. Because right? He understands the position. But he's just wondering if there's some difference because of this point of liberation. Text 43. Parasara gives the answer. In order to kill the king of the demons, the Lord who is the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction of all the worlds, taking a body, showed the form of Narsingha. When he did so, Hiranyakashipu did not think that this was Vishnu, but rather thought that he was a special living entity caused by extremely pious acts. Because his mind was overcome with Rajaguna, he attained a wealth of enjoyment as ten-headed Ravana, being in control of more than the three worlds only because being killed by Narsingadev. And so here is that he's killed, right? It means generally kills the demons if they get liberation. So if they don't, the next down from that is all kinds of material facilities, right? Because you have karma, then you have jnana, and then you have bhakti. So if they have devotion, then they attain bhakti, right? If they don't have, then they attain liberation. But here, they didn't attain liberation, so naturally, then they'll have lots of facility on the material platform. Mm-hmm. Is that? Though the Sarupa of the Lord is one, there's a different manifestation of qualities. Lord manifested the form of Narsingha in order to kill Hiranyakashipu. This means that situated in his own self, he manifests this other form, just as a Vaidurya gem manifests different colors. What kind of form was this? He made an appearance in a form that was never seen before, in the form of a lion. But why didn't the demon get liberation if he was killed by Narsingha, who was a form of Krishna himself? Vishnu attracts the mind of the meditator with the beauty of his form, name, and qualities. But because Hiranyakashipu did not recognize Vishnu, the Shakti of the Lord's attractiveness did not manifest in that form for bestowing liberation. Therefore, he did not achieve liberation. Mm-hmm. What was his mentality? Like, so in other words, the demons are attracted by the Lord, or they're impressed by his physical features and that. So they think there's something special here. So then they'll get liberation. But here, he was simply thinking that this is such a unique form, you could only get this by pious credits. So he was only thinking of piety. So he got piety. So it's the same point. Whatever you think of death, at the time of death, that's what you get. Even if you're dealing with the Lord, just it's a lot greater. What was his mentality? He thought of the Lord as a special living entity produced by pious acts. How did that mentality arise? It arose from delusions stemming from the mode of passion, right? Because you want everything. So in other words, he's in the mode of passion. So mode of passion means you practice the activities of piety and mode of goodness, but for fruit of results.
Yes.
Right? So, therefore, his lifestyle, he would be living technically that brahminical lifestyle. But his purpose of doing it is purely rajasa. It's not doing it because it's good for elevation. Right? He's doing it because this is the best for getting material facility. So, therefore, he's thinking, he's powerful, he's strong, he's unique, because of his piety. Right? He did his austerities, he did all these different things. He's maintaining it by, you know, living that lifestyle. Right? Then we see the, what do you call it? So he naturally thinks that this personality, who is now, you know, stronger than him, must have done the same thing.
Yes.
Right? He must have performed pious activities. Therefore, he has this form. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Because of being killed, while thinking that Nisringa was a powerful living entity, he attained enjoyment which was rare even to the devatas. Because he thought of the Lord. So naturally, if you think of the Lord, that's where you get the benefit. But he only thought of the Lord as a pious living entity. Right? So because if you're looking at it from there, he's naturally the most pious living entity. Right? But he's only seeing that aspect. He's only seeing the material side. So he gets the results in material. Right? Does that make sense? Just like the sons of Krishna are thinking about the other sons who are sitting on Krishna's lap, that what piety they must have performed to be able to sit on the lap of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they're thinking bhakti sukriti, not karma sukriti. Right? So here he's thinking karma sukriti. So he got his results in karma sukriti.
Maharaj?
Yes.
But then after getting that facility or whatever of the piety, did that put him in a more favorable position and a demon?
Well, not necessarily. The point is you get facility from the Lord. It doesn't necessarily mean you use it nicely. Everybody who has facility in this world is getting it from the Lord. Right? And people aren't actually born into really good situations except for if they have some bhakti sukriti. You know, so some element is there. But his bhakti sukriti is remembering the Lord, but only in connection with piety. Mm. Does that make sense?
But did he become a pious person?
See, it's what we're... The element here is that... See, piety means that you're following the rules. Okay? So, now the point is those in the mode of goodness and those in the mode of passion both follow the standard rules. Right, the one fault because they both know that without following the rules, there will be no results. Right, mm-hmm. But the difference is that one is following it for elevation of the soul to, you know, these higher platforms. The other is doing it for material benefits. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So, in this case, the mode of passion is prominent. So, those in the mode of passion. You know, we generally think, oh, they're angry, they're this. No, that's mode of ignorance. Mode of passion means whatever you're doing it, you do it right, but you do it for your own purpose. Mode of goodness means you do it because you're supposed to do it.
Then what's the difference between his position now and in the next life when he attains his piety?
It's been translated into pious credits.
But he's got all this facility now.
Yes, so he has all the facility because that's all he's looking at it as.
Yeah, but he had it before the Lord killed him.
No, but he has this life. He has all that facility because of remembering the Lord, but only in connection with piety.
Oh, okay. So he's done that previously.
No, he did that. He did that as Hiranyakashipu going to Ravana.
Oh, okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
Like that, yeah.
So how did he do it when he became Hiranyakashipu?
That's because he was Jaya of the spiritual world. He was a doorkeeper. So
okay.
When you translate that into something, then you come out even bigger. Because Ravana wasn't... It means Ravana was big for the time. In other words, all the demigods were disturbed. But not as much as Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was even bigger. He was the biggest demon there ever was. Right? So, you know, you don't become that big without some serious credit. Right? So it's just they've come from the spiritual world to be in the pastimes of the Lord like that. So naturally he's going to come in big. Because, you know, if you're a small-time little, you know, little guy in the corner who's, you know, how you say, you know, selling little things for, you know, that he stole from somewhere and stuff like that, it's not that, you know, the Supreme Lord is going to come down and have this whole scene happen. You know, it's not a whole lot. Their point was, is we're the biggest and strongest. So if the Lord, being complete, we like to fight because we're coming from the Lord. That means the Lord must have the nature to fight. He must be originally there. But in Vaikuntha, everything's so perfect, there is no fight. So how will the Lord fulfill this desire?
Right. You understand? They're doing it as a service.
They're doing it as a service. So therefore, then he comes first as the biggest of all the demons. It means there's no one bigger than that. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, these others are big enough that Vishnu comes and takes care of them. But Hiranyakashipu is even bigger than that. Is that?
So is that the case with all the demons?
No, that's this particular set of demons. Jaya and Vijay come in these three births.
So then what's the purpose of the other demons?
They're just demons.
Okay.
You know, the material nature generally takes care of them. Okay. Like that. Sometimes Krishna deals with them. Text 44. Since he did not accept Nrisimha as Supreme Brahman, without beginning or end, he did not absorb his mind in him. One can absorb one's mind in an object either by accepting it as the most wonderful object or as the most detested object. Because Hiranyakashipu did not see Nrisimha either way, he did not absorb his mind in Nrisimha. By his absorption alone, one attains liberation. He did not make Nrisimha the object of absorption, and thus his mind could not be absorbed in Nrisimha. Because he absorbs himself in thinking Nrisimha, he gets liberated, but he didn't do that. He just simply thought, this is a real pious person, and then just starts fighting with him. So though he was killed by the Lord, he wasn't actually meditating on the Lord. Yeah.
Can we say that it's the reason so he can be born again as another demon?
Yes, of course, that's the arrangement, but still the points are being made here. So the discussion is one, you're seeing, in this we're learning what it actually means about, you know, because we'll think he's killed by the Lord, and that's what, because the act of being killed by the Lord, that gives liberation. No, it's the act of, in the process of killing, one is meditating on the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Just like as we'll see, Shishupal, since he was small, since he could talk, he was blaspheming Krishna. Like that. So that means he is absorbed in the Lord. So
he's
then...
He's the last one?
Yes. Yeah.
Because he wasn't so big.
But he was... His mentality was... You know, I mean... Who 24/7, you know, thinks badly about Krishna, right? You know, even you know, other demons have to take a little break for a little, you know, a party or something. You know, but he's just always thinking badly about Krishna.
It was his samadhi.
So he's absorbed in thinking of the Lord. So the point being made here by the acharya is that he didn't think of, generally the demons, if they're killed by Krishna, are thinking of Krishna.
Yes.
But he didn't think of Krishna, he's just thinking about the fighting. Because he didn't take Nrisimha as something unique and special as Vishnu.
Yes.
Right? He just took him as some pious entity that Brahma arranged to send to kill him. Right? So he's just thinking, oh, it's just another enemy. You know, the demigods have found a new trick. You know. Text 45. When he was born as Ravana and was killed by the Lord in the form of Ram, he saw the form of the Lord but did not recognize him as the Lord, because he was absorbed in lust for Sita. Instead of having attraction for the Lord, he unfortunately thought of Ram as a mere human being. As a result of being killed by Ram, he again attained birth with unimpeded wealth by being born as Shishupal in the family of Chedi Raj, praised by the whole earth. Yeah, because Chedi Raj is the... Sometimes it's, I'm not sure, it's more done, I think, in north, but then before they start things, so like you're doing a Vastu, the Vastu Puja, or the entering the house thing. Then they take these pots with I think it's kumkum and ghee. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be warm, so in this weather you have to be careful. And then it's, you touch the wall and pour it on the wall and you make these streams. Mm-hmm. So that's Chedi Raj Puja. So in north you'll see it, if you go, that means you used to be able to see, if you go into houses and you'd see in one place that would be there. Like that. So Chedi Raj was a well-known person. When Ravan was killed by Ram, who is Krishna himself, why did he not get liberation? Even the form of Ram there did not display the attractive power of generating liberation. Ravana thought of Sita as an attractive young girl, not as Lakshmi. He also saw Krishna, who had taken the form of Ram, but saw him as the son of Dasarath, a person who, because of pious acts, was born in a royal family. Unfortunately, there did not arise in his heart an attraction for the Supreme Lord with eternal form, qualities and powers by who liberation is attained. Because if you think of him as eternal, then you get eternal. Yes. So then, just, I don't know if it'd come up in here, but then taking that, then the impersonalists, the Mayavadis, who think of the form of the Lord as temporary, can never actually get liberation.
Hmm. Yes.
You know, they talk about it, but Ishupanishad says the killers of the soul go to hell. Right? Because a Brahmavadi is not a killer of the soul, because he sees everything as Brahman. Right? So he's one kind of Brahman, and there's varieties of Brahman. But your Mayavadis, then they're killers of the soul, because there'll be no soul left when they, in their idea of liberation. So they go to hell. They don't actually go to Brahman. No, so it's a trick. He thought of Ram only as a human being. Thus, even when when the Lord took the form of Rama, the Shakti of attractiveness which causes liberation was not evident. Though his wife, Mandodari, told him that Ram was the Lord, and therefore he had that knowledge, that was only a shadow of knowledge, and hence he did not become absorbed in Rama. But as a result of death by Rama, in his next birth he attained great wealth and birth in a great family. Because they're acknowledging that he's pious, because otherwise how is he born in this great powerful family? How is he so powerful, you know, himself so powerful? I mean, who shows up with a bunch of monkeys that they came to your place over by building a bridge over 800 miles or 1,200 kilometers of ocean, and they walk across? Who does that? So you have to be powerful to do that. So he's appreciating the piety. So we can see that even though they're big demons, they appreciate the piety. They follow the culture. Right? No, except for stealing Sita, he does everything else correctly. Right? So that's the thing, is that they're able to appreciate what's good. You know, this modern idea of the demon, they don't appreciate anything. That's not very cultured. It's not very pious. Right? But here, they're pious. So they understand what piety is, and they understand the symptoms. So they can immediately see that Nrisimhadeva or Ramachandra must be pious to have these forms. He doesn't catch that he's the source of piety. That's why he's so pious. In other words, he is the principle of piety.
Yes.
But as a result of death by Ram, his next birth he attained great wealth and birth in a great family. The author of Vedanta Sutra says that one attains greater wealth than that of the heavenly planets by seeing and being killed by the Lord while not being aware that he is the Lord. Okay, so the Vedanta Sutra mentions. na saman yad ap yap yupalabdher mrityuvan nahi lokapati. Those persons who see the Lord as a king or great person do not take birth again like ordinary people, but attain great wealth in the next birth. Vedanta Sutra 3353. So they see something of quality of the Lord, you get benefit. Right? So they're seeing some uniqueness in the Lord. So then they're elevated. But because they only see materially, they're only materially elevated. The Smriti says, Samanya darshana loka muktir yogyatma darshanat. If one sees the Lord as a human, one gains heavenly planets. But if one sees him as the Lord, one attains liberation. Narayana Tantra. Mm-hmm. Yes.
On the Battle of Kurukshetra.
At the Battle of Kurukshetra.
Yeah, usually it is said that they all got liberated, those who were
yes.
killed by the Lord.
Yes.
So they saw him as the Lord and they see him as the...
Well, I think that's what's coming up. It's because notice in both of these it mentioned the Shakti of attractiveness which causes liberation was not evident. So in other words, in Krishna, it's evident.
Yes.
So then naturally they're attracted by him and then think he's special in that way. So that's what's coming. So that's what the author's bringing out, right? And the acharyas are bringing out here, is that that there is a uniqueness to Krishna as, what is it, Paravasta?
Yeah.
So that's what they're trying to show here. First they've shown is that he's the origin and not Vishnu. Then within the Paravasta, then there's gradation. Yeah. In other words, this gradation is not a matter of what's better. The gradation is by uniqueness, right? Because that's where it was saying the visesha, the specialness. So Krishna's specialness is beyond everybody else's specialness. So it's the special of specialness, right?
Nrisimha and Ram, they're more or less on the same level?
I mean, here in this discussion, by this, then basically they're the same. Okay. If one sees the Lord as a human, one gains the heavenly planets. If one sees him as the Lord, one attains liberation. Narayana Tantra. When a person does not see the Lord as the Lord, it is said that his, the Lord's form, is covered. Right, so in other words, you're seeing through Mahamaya, even though you're dealing with the Lord. But he's acting in Yogamaya, because it's not us. That's the problem with the Buddhist or the Mayavad philosophy, is that the idea is that I'm the one creating it. So if I see it as illusion, it is illusion. Right? But the actual point is no. What's illusion is illusion. What's not illusion is not. So the Lord is transcendental, whether you see him as divine or not. Right? That's what comes up. Text 46. The essential cause of all names of the Lord lies in Krishna. Shishupal, having a mind absorbed in enmity to the Lord for continuous, countless births, uttered the unlimited names of the Lord produced through his pastimes at that time. Right? Because he was saying his names in his pastimes, but he was saying them in a derogatory way.
Yeah.
You know? You know, it's just like let's say, I'm not sure. The problem is in the Western thing, it's always derogatory, but you can say it in a nice way. You know, it's just like, let's say the guy's acting in the wild and his friends, you know, says, wow, you know, you're such a madman. But they mean it in a positive way, as praise.
Yes.
You know? Does that make sense? So Shishupal was using it seeming the opposite. He was saying things that are gently as praise, but externally it appeared that it was a criticism. Underlying it's a praise. You know, it means like, I'm not, what's the, like one example is that he has no varna. Right? So the Lord having no varna means he's one, he's beyond varna. He's the source of varna, so he can take any position because it's all him. Right? He doesn't have a varna. A varna comes from him. Right? So he's a cow. So therefore, he can be a cowherd boy. Then he goes to Dwarka, and then he's the king. Mm-hmm. Right? Then he's driving Arjuna's chariot. Yes. You know, as a shudra. So what actually is his varna? Yes. Right? So he so we understand it from he's transcendental. He can do whatever he likes. He was saying is he has no varna. Just look at him. He's a cowherd boy. He's a king. He's a chariot driver. So what is this guy? What is his social standing? You know, in other words, someone who's inconsistent, they have no social standing. So he was saying it as if it's a criticism. Right? But underlying, it's a glorification.
And Maharaj, he said, yeah, he did that for countless births, for many, many births.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's always been absorbed in the Lord. You know, so he's been in these previous absorbed, but now the absorption is becoming greater.
Did he say for many, many births he was envious, but he only had two births before that?
Probably because, how you say it? In every universe he keeps doing it, so something like that, there's unlimited births, you know. Like that. So in that way, then. Because each time he is, so that means, you know, eternally he's always absorbed. Okay, so Shishupal, having a mind absorbed in enmity to the Lord for continuous countless births, uttered the unlimited names of the Lord produced through his pastimes at that time. Moreover, Krishna's forms, with eyes like an unfurled lotus petal, wearing pure crown, armlets, necklace, and bracelets, clothed in bright yellow cloth, and holding in his four broad arms the conch, chakra, club, and lotus, did not leave the mind of Shishupal at all. Because of his deep enmity, while he walked, ate, bathed, ate, sat, and slept. It's like the Shema. Right? Yeah.
Maharaj?
Yes.
So if something bad happens to us, and then we say, oh, Krishna, I can't believe that happened. Like, blaming Krishna for it, so is this the same thing?
Depends, but, you know. I mean, in other words, it's not recommended.
So, what's a way to change that?
Krishna has a plan. He's doing it out of affection.
Okay.
You know, it's just like the parent gives the child medicine. It's not that the child thinks, "Wow, this is the best. This is the nicest bad tasting medicine." Like, you know, it's like that. You know, they just think it's bad.
Yeah, but they are blaming them, like they're even like kicking the parents.
Yes, so it's the same thing.
So Krishna will forgive that if you can't help it, and eventually it goes away, or what?
It means he may, but what you have to watch out for is his internal potency.
Because even
does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so therefore, you know, you have to watch out more for Yoga Maya, and then in her mood is Mahamaya. The point is that you're connecting to Krishna, you're thinking about it, but it should be favorable. So at least you're conscious of Krishna. So that's the first step. That's good. But then the next step is it should be favorable. And then the next step after that is without karma or jnana. So in other words, it's got one point, you know, out of three. But to be counted as pure devotion, it needs all three. So, yes, it's a step. At least you're thinking of the Lord. Yeah. And it's better than blaming it all on the government, or, you know, all on, how you say, the weather, or, you know, something else. But it's still not the kind of cultivation we like to do.
Well, it's not a cultivation, it's like a habit or something. So
that's what we said.
It goes away after trying not to do it, right?
Yes, by trying not to do it in connection to Krishna.
Yeah.
This section explains that because Shishupal's mind was absorbed in the form of Krishna, which constantly revealed his energy, shakti, of attractiveness, which brings about liberation, he attained liberation when killed by Krishna. Attractiveness is of two types, sweetness of the name and sweetness of the form. Both are manifest in Krishna. the causes of all the names of the husband of Lakshmi, such as being the killer of demons, having lotus eyes, holding a bow, and riding Garuda, were all present in Krishna. Being born of Vasudeva is a cause, and the resulting name is Vasudeva. By such sweet names, Krishna displayed attractiveness. By these names, Shishupal understood that the person before him was Vishnu. However, with heart absorbed in hatred for many continuous births in the past, Shishupal criticized Krishna using those attractive names arising from the performance of his pastimes at that time. Thus his mind became absorbed in Krishna out of hatred. As well, so it's a secondary rasa. As well, his mind became attracted by the sweetness of Krishna's form. That form did not leave Shishupal's mind, which was fixed in Krishna, because you can say, oh, he didn't like him, but he is thinking about it.
Yes.
Right? So that's the point. He's attracted by his form. He appreciates the names.
Yes.
But he's just using it in hatred rather than in a progressive way. So it's not pure devotion. like that. Under what conditions he was absorbed while he was walking, eating, bathing, sitting, and sleeping because of hatred?
What?
Yes.
Can we call it devotion, not pure devotion?
No, because devotion has to be favorable. See, is that being God conscious, that's the first step. Then it's favorable to God, that's the second. Then the third, it has to be free from karma and jnana. Right? You understand? So the mixed karma is at the third.
Yes.
So in other words, when you're doing things that are conscious of Krishna, things that are favorable to Krishna, but you want results yourself, that's mixed devotional service. But if it's only conscious of Krishna and not favorable to Krishna, it's not technically devotional service. You know what I'm saying?
What's that called?
You'd have to ask Shishupal. he seems to be the acharya in this particular.
Isn't it called demonic mentality?
It is, but it's connected to Krishna. But here it's connected to he's conscious of him in his form as Bhagavan. So he's not like those who are blaspheming and saying there is no, they're atheists, but at the same time they're accepting that there's some kind of power or something. Some greater thing. So they're seeing that aspect. So they're only catching the Brahman. But generally speaking, because of illusion, then they don't connect, and so then it becomes pretty simple. You know, it's pretty mundane.
He's doing the same thing as Kamsa. The Kamsa is absorbed out of fear.
Out of fear. Well, he's out of hatred. So generally, then this hatred is even more absorbing. Because generally in fear, there's always a limit that you'll go to. Because of fear, you don't want to die. So therefore, out of fear, you'll not do things too crazy. But out of hatred, you'll even do things that'll destroy yourself. You know, as long as the other person's destroyed in the process, you don't. You know, it's more intense. Like that.
Somewhere it said that comes out of fear, Shishupal out of hatred, and Gopi is out of love.
Yes.
They're
all absorbed in the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the point is it's a primary rasa, therefore you function on the personal platform. Mm-hmm. But these secondary rasas are not situated in a primary rasa. So there's not even technically, but there's some element we see here of appreciation. So both of them are appreciating qualities that Krishna has, but that's causing hatred in one and fear in the other. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So the fine points of rasa, right? Yes.
So did you say the first one is being God conscious but not in devotion? And then the next one is just being God conscious, and the next one is being God conscious and doing things for Krishna in mixed devotion, and then the next one is pure devotion.
Yes, means unless it's favorable, how would you call it devotional?
Yeah. But the second one is devotion?
Means if you're doing it favorable for the Lord, but you haven't, you're not considering the third one, then it's mixed devotional service.
So there's three steps or four steps?
Three. Well, I mean, first you have to be conscious to become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada mentions that. But that's not in the verse. So whenever we talk about form, we're adding in Prabhupada's point, is first become conscious. That's why then even in the day-to-day work, you know, people just do it, it's efficient, it gets done. Then that's not actually so useful to us. That you're conscious while getting it done, that's more useful. Right? That's why if the pots aren't washed properly, why aren't they washed properly? You're not conscious. So you have to be conscious that the pots are washed properly. So you're developing consciousness. Then it's consciousness because you're doing it for Krishna. It's Krishna's pots. Then it's got to be favorable. Therefore, you want to wash the pots. So you want to do it nicely. Or after you finish, you'll stack them nicely. Or you'll take care of all the things. You won't bang the pots. You know what I'm saying? But then there still can be the element that you want benefit from that. So that's the karma and jnana. Right? So, in other words, first you're God conscious, but it's not favorable. Then it's favorable, but it's still mixed. Then it's pure. Okay? But you can only take part in the process if you're conscious in the first place. Right? So Hiranyakashipu and Ravana and Shishupal were all aware that the Lord was there. And, you know, does that make sense? So they, so that means they were conscious. Because if we're not conscious, we actually can't take part in anything. Because the soul is conscious by nature. So if you're not conscious, then how will you be part of something?
Do you mean conscious by like materially good at something? Like,
no, conscious means aware.
Yeah, but
how are you going to be good at something unless you know what you're dealing with?
That's what I mean. It usually expresses by someone.
That's expressed. But you have to be conscious first. Yeah. What's the difference between the guy, you know, the person on the uneven bars? You know, they hold up a 10 and they hold up a 6. What's the difference?
One's more conscious.
That's the point. It's all about who's more conscious. Because they're conscious of every little detail. You know, they did perfect with their hands, but their toes were not pointed. So the person who did it all, that impossible things, and the toes are pointed, means they're more conscious.
So theoretically, someone who is materially conscious and has got that quality, if they are to come across devotional service, then they would be a better devotee or get their kripa or something.
If they use it in Krishna's service, it will be of great advantage.
Yeah.
That's why a successful person in the material can be successful at the spiritual. But the tendency, those who are successful material, don't worry about the spiritual because everything's fine. And so those who are not successful, they're the ones who think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? So at some point, even those who are successful, they'll become unsuccessful just because that's the way the modes of nature work. Right? It means, you know, I say, you know, karma goes in a circle. Right? So you're on the top, then you're on the bottom, then you're on the top. So even if you do everything perfect, at some point it runs out. You know, it's just like, let's say you're going out and you're shopping, right? And you're perfectly buying the right things. You know, when you walk down the street, the people notice the bags and like that. And they're nodding their heads and talking to each other, right? But at some point, the karma runs out and there's no more money. You know, when the cards get maxed out, then you can't buy anything, even though you're doing it so perfectly. Does that make sense?
So, is consciousness is not something that gets passed down from life to life, like part of the intelligence or something like this?
It's not part of the intelligence, it's the soul. Consciousness is the soul.
Okay.
Mind, intelligence, that's all the conditioning. Consciousness is the soul.
So if someone is not conscious in their next life, whereas they were in their previous life, it just means the soul is more covered?
Because they didn't use their consciousness for anything of importance.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If someone's always conscious of sinful things, then they'll be less conscious.
Yeah.
You know, it's just they get cut like a tree. A tree is conscious, but, you know, not a whole lot. You know, but, you know, they can tell when the sun's out. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, 47. Abusing Krishna by his names and holding his form in his heart, Shishupal, freed from the fault of hatred, finally saw the Lord with brilliant, indestructible form, glowing with rays of his chakra held in his hand and meant for killing him. Through his utterance of Krishna's names and meditation on his form was done with hatred, he became free of fault, just as if being touched by the Lord when he was killed. Then, by the touch of the chakra, he saw the real form of the Lord and attained prema. Thus he realized Krishna. So the chakra is his devotee. You know, so by that touch of the devotees, that, you know, it's just that it's how it's unfolding is not necessarily your standard ideal form. You know, it's not, this is not the recommended method of devotional service, right? Like that. You know, if you're a gatekeeper in Vaikuntha, then go for it.
Yes.
You know, but if you're not a gatekeeper in Vaikuntha, then it's not recommended. Right? Does that make sense? Because the point is by remembering the Lord, then, even that you're remembering that Krishna did it, why this happened, you're remembering the Lord and you're seeing that He's the cause of all causes. That's nice, but whether you'll maintain that, see, because Shishupal, it's constant. And so by that constant being absorbed in that attractiveness and chanting His names, because He was always chanting His names. We're not sitting down, Hare Krishna, like this. He's saying all these things in connection with everybody else. You know. Is that what you're saying? No, so it's subtle.
No, he was preaching against Krishna.
Yes, he was preaching against Krishna. He was preaching about Krishna against Krishna.
And he got reinstated as Jai after this verse? Three verses.
And from what I understand, no.
They got stuck.
Appearing in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes isn't exactly stuck.
Yes.
But in other words, yes. The three that were there, that they came for, that was done. So at that point, they could have gone because Krishna's come as Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, that they took part in those pastimes, right? And so then. Who are the biggest demons in the Lord's pastimes? Jaya and Vijaya. So therefore then they, you know, who else is going to, you know, you have to remember they're typecast here. So then they always go in the, you know, when it comes to the demons, then, you know, who's going to play? Of course, them, right? Right? And, you know, and then you have Jaya and Vijaya, right? So Jaya is the main one. He's Hiranyakashipu. Then Vijaya is Hiranyaksha, you know, Ravana and Kumbhakarna. You know, Shishupal Dantavakra. So naturally, Jai is going to be, you know, the one who throws the pot. You know. So, you know, they
consistent.
Yes, consistent. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, part of the, how you say, Yogamaya guild here.
But after
so.
That,
yeah.
Well, yeah. Sorry to continue on, it's quite.
You just want to know if there's just some way you can argue with Krishna, right?
No, I do. I try. I just wanted to know if somebody who is not conscious, like generally speaking, is there no hope for them to become Krishna conscious? Like,
by association of devotees, they'll become purified, then they'll become conscious.
This life or the next one?
It can be this life.
Okay.
I mean, you just have to take 66 to 77 as a perfect example.
Yes.
Totally unconscious people becoming conscious. A 25-word vocabulary is not called conscious.
I don't know exactly.
You don't understand it. Have you ever been to Amsterdam? No. Okay. Then, and you haven't been to Eugene or Haight-Ashbury. Okay. So then, you won't understand the example.
Okay. So I guess what I'm trying, like, if somebody's been in the movement for, just say, 50 years, and they're still unconscious. Then
generally after 50 years they're conscious. Nobody's unconscious.
Okay. Or they've dropped out.
That's another thing. But the point is that by association, devotional process itself, see, they're not in contact with the devotional process as such. They're not associating with pure devotees. Right? They may be doing, he's attracted by and chanting the Lord's name. So he's always thinking about the Lord. But it's not in the association of devotees. Right? We see that's the turning point in Bhav Sadhana, where it becomes dynamic, is where one actually wants pure devotional service. So you then the result of that is getting the association of the devotees. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's the important element. So they're not having that association. Even though we see Mandodari tried to instruct her husband about the position of the Lord, still he wasn't interested. Right? He just didn't take it seriously. To him, he's just a human being. So, you know, why this kind of discussion? You know, he's just... Text 48. Quickly killed by the chakra of the Lord, and having his piles of sin burned by remembrance of the Lord, he was brought to the Lord and enjoyed the embrace of the Lord. Endowed with such qualification and freed from his material body by Krishna, he attained association of the Lord. According to Haima Kosha, Anta means Sarupa, near, edge, certainty, and destruction. So Sarupa has all these different things. Oh, okay, no. Anta means these things. So that means Sarup has these also as synonyms. Okay, certainty means you're focused on the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Edge, so the thing is Sarup Siddhi is on the edge between the material consciousness and prema. You know, certainty like that. Near means then you're near the Lord, you're not with the Lord. Right? Destruction, it means the destruction of the material and the being situated on the spiritual. Thus Bhagavantam means brought near the Lord. Laya means embrace. Thus, though Nrisimha, Rama and Krishna are non-different in Sarup, Krishna is Swayam Rupa, endowed with all qualities which are fully manifested all the time. This gives liberation. Shishupal was liberated by the attractiveness of Krishna because of his fully manifested qualities. Because Nrisimha and Rama did not manifest all those qualities, they did not liberate him, even though they killed him. So the point is, Swayam Krishna means he manifests all the 64 qualities. Well, Nrisimha and Ramachandra, even though they have all of them, they don't manifest them. Therefore, they're not as attractive. Therefore, then they didn't get liberation.
So in the category of five, Balaram, Krishna, and Mahaprabhu, they manifested all
yes,
the qualities.
Yes. But still, Krishna manifests more than Balaram.
And Mahaprabhu?
Mahaprabhu is manifesting those qualities, but he's manifesting those qualities as how Radharani appreciates those qualities. So in other words, the qualities are one thing, but the appreciation of them is even greater. So in other words, what's manifested is the appreciation of the qualities of Krishna.
It's even more.
Yes, that's why this is more unique. That's why this avatar is the most unique. Because then you're seeing it from the other, right? We're generally seeing him as the Supreme Lord, but here you're actually seeing how the Supreme Shakti sees the Supreme Lord. So that vision, that's the unique position, because it means you get into a realm according to the vision that's there, how you see the Lord. So Lakshmi sees him as Vishnu, so that's what everybody else will see him as.
Right.
Does that make sense? You know, so the intimacy is more in Dwarka, more in Mathura, but the most in Braj. So that kind of vision. So you're getting, so in other words, Lakshmi is a partial manifestation of Radharani's qualities. Then Satyabhama is more, right? But Radharani, in that form, will be with Braja Krishna, is the maximum. So the manifestation of the qualities, but this is the counterpart of the qualities, the appreciation of the qualities. So that's even more special, because that's what's going to get you that particular kind of bhakti. Because you have to appreciate Krishna how the devotees appreciate Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes. Text 49. I've explained all this to you. Krishna, Bhagavan, glorified and remembered even with hatred, bestows a result, moksha, unattained by the devas or demons. What then can be said of the results attained by the devotee? So I think Nectar Devotion also makes this point. Right? You know, so you're getting, they're getting benefit by remembering Krishna. You know, even if it's not favorable, so let alone, you know, then, and they're getting, you know, liberation, which is not considered, I mean, in the material world is considered really great, but, you know, overall not. So what is the benefit the devotees are getting? Right? So that can't even, that is not even being able to be described. We can give an idea. Right? Whatever you have asked, I have explained. The meaning is clear. Bhagavan is a compound meaning. Possessing all wonderful qualities. Because that sound is also the sound of a rat chewing on something. Mm-hmm. You know, when they go like that. So when he was, you know, I was thinking, it's a rat. Then I said, oh no, it's the fans creaking. There's a compound meaning, possessing all wonderful qualities. Because of the statement, Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam, Bhagavan here means Swayam Rupa Krishna. The result attained by the demons is liberation. The devotees, however, in their state of liberation, attain the Lord who comes under their control completely. Thus, the sage is saying that bhakti to the Lord is necessary and hatred is despicable. Thus it is said, right? The Lord is seen by the devotees by devotion and is never seen without devotion. He cannot be seen by anger or hatred, Padma Purana. Thus, the result of hatred was only absorption of the Lord, not that all types of absorption yield the same result. That is the meaning of the following verse spoke by Narada. Somehow or other, one must consider the form of Krishna very seriously. Then, by one of the five different processes mentioned above, one can return home, back to Godhead. Atheists like King Vena, however, being unable to think of Krishna's form in any of these five ways, cannot attain salvation. Therefore, one must somehow think of Krishna, whether in a friendly way or inimical. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.32. So that means somehow or another have to think of Krishna. But of that, if you think of him in not favorable, you can only get liberation out of it. But if you think about him favorably in devotion, then you can get prema.
But if you sometimes think of him favorable, sometimes not, that just means you're in the process.
It's just unstable. At some point it'll become consistent.
Because if your aim is to eventually think of Krishna in a favorable way,
then it'll slowly get there. Okay. But it's not that you won't get, you know, things won't work out for you in the meantime.
Yeah.
You understand? Mm-hmm. In other words, means the reaction to those things may come. Same time you're being purified. Just like it says here, it says, the result attained by demons is liberation. The devotees, however, in their state of liberation, attain the Lord who comes under their control completely. So the devotees, by always absorption of the Lord, they're liberated. Then, from that platform, they attain bhakti. While the demons, they're absorbed in the Lord, but they can only attain liberation. Because their position is not liberated. In a sense, the devotee, the position they function from, is already liberated. Does that make sense? Yeah, then it works. 50-51. In the Vishnu Purana, Parasara does not mention that Jaya and Vijaya were associates of the Lord from Vaikuntha, but simply took three births to attain the Lord. Thus, one should not think that in all kalpas the associates of the Lord fall from Vaikuntha and become Hiranyakashipu. If they were always associates, it would not be proper to have them fall in every kalpa. Right? Because otherwise, if they're constantly falling in every kalpa, then there's a problem. So this was a special arrangement. In the third canto, it is explained that Jayan Vijay fell from Vaikuntha by the curse of the Kumaras, and being killed by the hand of Krishna, they returned to Vaikuntha with the termination of the curse after three births. How then can the explanation of Parasara be used to explain the topmost position of Krishna? This verse explains. In the Vishnu Purana, Atra, Parasara says that the two took three births without mentioning that they were previous associates of the Lord in Vaikuntha. Thus he does not consider that in every kalpa, day of Brahma, Jaya and Vijaya become demons in the material world. It would not be proper to say that being eternal associates with the Lord, they fall in every kalpa from Vaikuntha. The meaning is this. If one accepts that the kalpa avatars appear in every kalpa and figgeth, very ancient term, he figgeth with me. I'm not sure what the figgeth with me, you know, means if that has to do with me, so you sit down together and you know, eat figs or offer figs or, you know, or you don't give a fig, so he doesn't care about you, so he's inconsiderate, so he's figgething with me. I'm not sure. Unfortunately, our grammarians are not here to appreciate the So most likely it's fight. Okay, the meaning is if the one accepts that the kalpa avatars appear in every kalpa and fight with Jaya and Vijaya who fall from Vaikuntha to perform fighting pastimes with the Lord, this would contradict the Lord's statements of affection for his devotees and statements concerning never returning from Vaikuntha. Thus, in every kalpa, the Lord performs fighting pastimes with real demons. Their falling into the material world from Vaikuntha by the Lord's will alone is an occasional occurrence. It just happens sometimes, just for fun. Because otherwise here they've fallen into, because it says once going there one never returns, means that you fall and you're part of the scene here. Right? But, as we'll see when we get to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that when Gopa Kumara is going through, going into the Brahman, then he sees this unlimited stream of devotees from Vaikuntha going down into the material world to preach. Right? On their way down, they're talking about the Lord, and then they go in and perform pastimes. Right? So that's not falling. They're still situated in Vaikuntha. They're just going to give association. Right? So it's a constant thing. So everybody, so even though you're here, still people are worried about you. Don't worry. They haven't forgotten. Okay. The Lord then said to his attendants, Jaya and Vijaya, depart this place, but fear not. All glory is unto you. Though I am capable of nullifying the Brahmana's curse, I would not do so. On the contrary, it has my approval. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:16:29. But it should also be explained that the Lord acted only according to their desire of wanting to see the prowess of their Lord, which was sung by the bards. The Lord's will is dependent on the desire of his devotee. Oh, I see. The T and the H are what's the problem. Right. Okay. In the figures. Okay. Because they had the desire to see that. Therefore, the Lord fulfilled their desire. It wasn't just, you know, he just decided they should come here. Because otherwise, there's always going to be demons there. You know, whoever's the most nasty and at the same time, you know, pious, then they can be these demons. But, you know, I wouldn't count on it. There's one of them in a day of Brahma. So, right? Does that make sense? And that's a long time. So you would, and that's out of all the unlimited living entities in the universe, one actually gets that position. So, and then you have to do it three times for it to work. You know, so. My dear Lord, neither I nor anyone else can estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours, which has shown such mercy to me, and which appears just to fulfill the desires of your pure devotees. Although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form. How then could I possibly understand the happiness you experience within yourself? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.2. Goddess Bhumi said, let's say he was saying that. Goddess Bhumi said, obeisance is unto you, O Lord of the chief demigods, O holder of the conch shell, disc, and club, O supreme soul within the heart. You assume your various forms to fulfill your devotees' desires. Obeisance is unto you, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.59.20.25. But is this contrary to the statement that the devotee does not return to the material world? No, because returning to the material world by one's sinful actions is a fault, but coming to the material world by the Lord's will is not a fault. If that were the case, then even the Lord appearing, this would be a matter of criticism. If that were the case, then even the Lord appearing, this world would be a matter. Oh, if that were the case, then even the Lord appearing in this world would be a matter of criticism. Right? Because otherwise, he's come here to the material world. He's here, so that's a fault. So the point is Jayant Vijaya coming on the same thing. It's the Lord's will. Right? So Krishna, it's his will to come. It's not a fault. So it's his will that Jayant Vijaya comes. So therefore, it's not a fault. So it's not falling due to sinfulness. Right? Now we're talking here that one can deal means they're becoming demons because of the sinful attitude. Right? It means not Jayant Vijaya, but whoever are the real demons. But at the same point is the principle of the living entity coming to the material world is due to impiety. Right? Mm-hmm. Piety means seeing everything in connection to Krishna. Impiety means seeing it not in connection with Krishna. Mm-hmm. So piety keeps you in the spiritual world. Impiety keeps you in the material world.
Yes.
Right? So therefore, one is, looking at the Lord's energy from the point of that, not looking at it with his connection to the Lord. So that's impious. Though you may be dealing with it according to the regulations set by the Lord. Mm-hmm. So in the material world you'd be called pious. It's still not enough piety for the spiritual world. Yes. So in other words, the first step of piety is following God's laws. The second step is seeing everything in connection to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So seeing it in connection to the Lord, that's the higher. So if you have that, the lower will naturally develop. So if the devotee, even though he sees a connection to the Lord, but at the same time is doesn't necessarily have the material piety, it will come with time. Yes. Right? So it says all the qualities of the demigods will manifest. It's just time. But if you have the qualities of the demigods, it doesn't mean you have the topmost, the real piety. In other words, there's piety and real piety. Yes. Is that
interesting? Yes. So now it was a case for Hiranyakashipu and Kamsa. They were having piety but not real piety.
No, Hiranyakashipu in this case is that it's the Lord's arrangement. Kamsa is another thing. He seems to be a real demon.
Yes.
Right? The Jayant Vijaya, they only came for the pastime. That was by Krishna's will. Kamsa just happens to be one of the local living entities here. Just a little more piety and a little bit more demoniacness, so he's able to take the role.
Mm-hmm. He's not
Jain,
is he?
Kamsa? Yeah. No, because it's at that time it was Shishupala and Dantavakra. He's, I forget what the demon was. He's Kalanevi, yes. Like that. So, you know, the real demons, but because he's killed by the Lord, and the same kind of thing, then therefore the piety, I mean, he's the son of Ugrasena, so he's the king of the most powerful dynasty on the top planet. So it's the same like these others, and they have that. It's the same kind of thing. But you do it long enough, and then eventually something starts to happen. You know, they start to figure out, well, maybe they should, you know, they take Krishna more seriously at the time. Like that. Even Karna, he was that, I forget what his name was, previous life, but when the Pandavas were going up into the Himalayas, I think they were being, I'm not sure if they were being carried by, I think they were being carried by Ghatotkacha. When they were going, they saw this huge, huge white mountain. So they asked, what is this mountain? They said, oh, that's the bones of this demon. like that. So that was the demon that was Karna was in his last life. That's who Narayan killed. They came to kill him. Right? You know, so he had the natural armor. He had the benediction of that 100 armor. So if you knocked one off, another one would appear. So Krishna knocked off 99 and then killed him with the last one on. So he was born with it. So you know, yeah. Krishna has fun. He's good. Yeah.
So with the actual demons, do they ever go back to Godhead?
Everybody eventually goes back to Godhead. Okay. Like that. So, you know.
In the last argument, it says that he says you can give an argument that Jaya and Vijay, they, you know, because they had to be, their destination was to be liberated in the last birth, rather than the reasons given to exclaim about the Kedavata Bhakti.
Okay.
Why didn't, and then the reason the author is given there is that it's only there occasionally. It's usually not JBJ.
Yeah, it's generally other demons.
But he's given an example of the, he's not given a common example. He could have given an example of the normal ones, or the regular ones, the ones we can't.
Yeah, well, I think his example then works for everybody. Because he says he did not mention Jaya and Vijaya were associates, but simply took three births to attain the Lord. So Jaya and Vijaya who would fall would follow the same pattern as the regular pastimes. So generally the demons are there, they come up to that platform being killed by the Lord, then took three times before they actually became fully conscious. Then at that point, then they're liberated. But Jaya and Vijaya, because they came to take that part, they came and took those positions, so then they would naturally follow. Otherwise, how would they take three births? Mm-hmm. Like that. So then, you know, Yogamaya covers them. So they're not thinking of the Lord because of Yogamaya. The other ones are not thinking of the Lord because of Mahamaya. Mm-hmm. Like that. But then Krishna is so attractive that it even goes beyond, so then they become attractive. Is that okay? Yes.
And when Hiranyakashipu was harassing Prahlad.
Yes.
You know, as Jai, it's very unnatural if you want to harass somebody like that. What would be the outcome of the next verse?
Means.
Because you destroyed.
Oh, means you're talking about in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But we're not really talking about serious spiritual life at this time. It only seems to happen with Shishupal that he starts actually meditating. Because the first two, they didn't actually think of the Lord as the Lord. They just thought of him as a pious person, that's all. Like that. So, a pious person, meaning as Hiranyaka, as Nrisimhadev, then he's some special or extraordinary. So he's not, they're not thinking he was human, but still just a pious person. Mm-hmm. And Ravana is thinking of Ram as a pious person, but only a human. So it's not enough. So it's only a Shishupal. Then the form of the Lord is attracting his attention, and his names are attracting. So he's always absorbed, but the expression, he's only expressing hatred. Right? But then when he's, you know, at that last moment with the touch of Sudarshan, then he becomes purified, and then he's able to appreciate. You know.
I thought the four-seeker was inside, but it appears he cut the four-seeker before his neck.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think that it said the subtle body extends a bit, so it was already...
It was hovering, right?
Uh-huh.
It came out, everyone saw that.
Yeah.
It's so human.
Yeah. You had something? No. Okay. But could not one say that the statement of no return applies only to the spiritual world and not to the Vaikuntha present on Satyaloka? This argument is defeated by the statement in the 10th canto saying that a person does not fall even after attaining the Vaikuntha on Satyaloka. The great demigods could not only remain silent, not knowing how to counteract the benediction. Lord Shiva reached the luminous realm of Vaikuntha on Satyaloka, beyond all darkness, where the Supreme Lord Narayan is manifest. That realm is the destination of renunciates who have attained peace and given up all violence against other creatures. Going there, one never returns. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:88-25:26. Because the thousand-headed Vishnu then resides with Brahma, so he always gets to see him and talk to him and everything. I mean, he is his father, so it's like, it's cool. Okay, so then part three. Chapter 5. Discussions of Paravasta forms continue. Text 52-56. What was explained by Parasara through Maitreya in prose is now explained in verse briefly. Hiranyakashipu could not determine that the Lord appearing as the amazing Nrisimha was actually Vishnu. He thought Nrisimha was some ordinary person who had attained that form by previous pious acts, because his, Hiranyakashipu's mentality was affected by the mode of passion. He then attained a rare wealth of enjoyment as Ravana, greater than all others, only because of being killed by Nrisimha. Otherwise, you don't get that kind of piety. Right? Because regular piety, you get Indra. That's the top of the line of mundane enjoyment. But here, Ravana was even greater and more powerful than Indra. So that's rare. That's only because of this being in contact with the Lord. Because he did not think of Nrisimha as Vishnu, he did not have extreme hatred of him. Thus, he was not absorbed in the Lord. Without that absorption of the Lord, the hater of the Lord goes to hell like Vena. Right. So if someone hates the Lord but is not absorbed, then he goes to hell. Right? If he's absorbed, then he'll get liberated. But here, he was neither absorbed nor hated. So he just got pious credit. Does that make sense? Because they hated Vishnu, but they didn't think that he was Vishnu. Yes. If they had made that connection, then they would have got the same result like Shishupal. But they didn't make the connection. Mm-hmm. Right? Hiranyakashipu did not like Vishnu. But he didn't, he said, even though he had said, you know, is Vishnu here? And he said, and he came out, he didn't think that this was Vishnu, you know, because he knows what Vishnu looks like, right? And this is not it. So, you know, so then he just didn't connect. He just thought that this is some pious entity. You know? That makes sense. Commentary. It is said, atheists like King Vena, however, being unable to think of Krishna's form in any of those five ways, cannot attain salvation. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.32. Others like Kamsa, who meditated constantly on the Lord in hatred, however, attained a different goal.
Which goal?
That means they can get liberation. But the said atheists like Vena, they just go to hell. Like that, because they're not absorbed in the Lord or anything.
They're not demonic enough?
No, because it's not about the quality of their demoniacness. It's about their absorption in the Lord. You understand? So that's the point, is that if you're absorbed in the Lord, there's no material obstacle. Right? Yes. But the point is it'll only take you so far. In other words, the connection of things that are unfavorable in the Lord's service, then, or are connected to the Lord in some way, that what can give you liberation. You know, it's just saying, like Matthew's saying, you get upset with Krishna over these things, then that can give you liberation, but not bhakti. Bhakti has to be favorable. So So that's why then the next two have to be applied. Is that what I'm saying? But it will give liberation. Well, without that, then we see here, then they just go to hell. So it's about remembering Krishna. That's the whole point. That's what Bhagavatam is bringing out. Because we may say, well, why this point? Why this technical point? Because it's about remembering Krishna. That's the whole thing. It's not about that you're pious, you're nice, you're good, you're wonderful, you're fabulous. You know, it's about that you remember Krishna. So someone who's remembering Krishna, absorbed in Krishna, that's the actual position. But it doesn't mean that materially, if things aren't right, things don't get messed up. You know, it's just like for Arjuna. He's functioning on that material platform. He's getting a material reaction, right? His hairs are standing on end, his skin is burning, he has to sit down, he has no energy, right? You know, for someone like Arjuna, here's an army, here's a fight. You stand up, you're there, you're ready, you know, you're energized. Right, but he's getting the opposite because, you know, he's not dealing properly. So it doesn't mean that those won't come, but he's absorbed in the Lord. Therefore, then, you know, he gets that benefit. Like that. So that's the whole. These are the underlying. So these are underlying the whole thing, how it works, right? But it doesn't mean that there's not rules in how the mechanics of how it goes on. Just like in drama, there are rules. There's things to do. But what's the underlying point for it? That's another thing. It's Krishna's, you know, being absorbed and being finding something out of it. Some emotion, some expression of something. Rasa, you know, the taste of rasa. Right? So the underlying point is remembering Krishna, not forgetting him. That's what Krishna remembers us. We should remember him. But then in that, then there's forms, natural forms of that unveiling. So if you only partially do, let's say the actor comes out on the stage, his makeup is fabulous, you know, he's ready for a nomination, right? But his acting's terrible, then what? Right? You know, in other words, you know, they can get that position of great, what do you call it? The costume and makeup is fabulous, even though, you know, the movie's a bomb. You know what I'm saying? Right? Or the great actor, fabulous acting, but the costumes aren't very nice. Really? So it also won't work so well. But it's better. It's better. Right? So therefore, that's the whole thing, is the external is there, the internal is more, right? And then the transcendental is the most. So you always want to say, so the whole point of the pastimes is that you're expressing your devotion through the natural forms. So this idea is we don't have to use the natural forms. In fact, they're not even important at all. Then it misses the point. Why call them pastimes? Right? It's not that it just happens there. I heard about in one devotee was telling me, I can't remember, he forget where he said it was from. It was someone, Purana or something, was talking about this funny pastime, or even, unless the Acharyas talked about it, but this one funny pastime where somehow or another, you know, your different realms, because you have all these things going on at once, because they're pastimes. And so one realm is right next to the other. But somehow or another in this, the boundary between them wasn't there. And so Krishna's there in one pastime, suddenly another pastime, completely different pastime comes in, and then a third one comes in, so it ended up Krishna's hiding under the bed, because it's just, how do you deal with this? You know, so it's all somehow another yoga maya there. So what was the whole point of it? But, you know, it's also some fun of how you deal with all these at once. You know, what would happen if, you know, Ramachandra's monkeys, you know, bumped into, you know, the cowherd boys, or, you know, something like, you know, kind of that kind of a thing. Yeah. You know, so. Okay. 57-59. His attainment of wealth was thus only because of being killed by the hand of Nrisinga. Otherwise, than he wouldn't have. So it's he's connected. He's in other words, he's dealing with the Lord. So that's the good part. But he's only dealing on the platform of piety. Therefore, the Lord will only reciprocate in piety. But because it's the Lord, therefore it's unlimited. No one's seen such wealth. Right? Parasara uses the word eva to indicate that one should rather remember and appreciate the Lord with the six qualities. Because right? That's better. Because right? Otherwise you just get this mundane. You know, and it didn't work out so great for him. So it's not like, well, hey, you know, I could get into that if I could get all. Yeah, but it didn't work out for either Hiranyakashipu or for Ravana very well, right? Because he was not absorbed in the Lord, his sins were not destroyed. So the sin was still there, but he was killed by the Lord. So his piety remains. Because piety and impiety are two different things. So there's only certain impious acts that will destroy one's pious qualities. Right? So offenses to the Vaishnavas, that's one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, that can destroy, even you have, because otherwise generally the two go together. Right? Like when Nriga went to see Yamaraj, then he asked him, do you want the results of your pious or impious first? Mm-hmm. Right? And he took the impious, thinking that, you know, it will all, you know, when that's all finished, because he had unlimited pious, basically. You know, of course, it's not totally unlimited, but as far as heavenly planets are concerned, these are the terms you use. So he thought, well, let me get the bad out of the way, and then I can just enjoy. So Prabhupada says he's a fool. Right? You know, he should have taken the other. You know, he would have been doing that a long time. But by Krishna's grace, and, you know, he met Krishna, so that it worked out. Yes?
He was touched by the Lord. Shishupa was touched by chakra only and got purified.
But that's the devotees. So Krishna's sitting in your heart. He's sitting in every atom, and between every atom in your body. So I'm sure there's a lot of, and I don't know if anybody knows how many atoms are in your body. So then, you know, it's probably quite a lot. You know, it's probably got a few of those, you know. You know, 10 to the power of, you know, after it. Right? But it's the devotee that makes the difference. Right? Everything is Krishna. You're just walking around in Brahman. Right? But it's the Harinam party going down the street, or the Prashad, or, you know, in other words, the Rathayatra festival, or that's what, your fortune has changed because of the devotees. But it's Krishna who makes that arrangement. Right? So here, they're attracted by the Lord as a person. If they're not, then they don't get any benefit. If they are, then they get more benefit. Right? Yes. Okay. And thus he could not see the pure Lord, because he still had the sins. That's why we give up the sinful, because it gets in the way of us seeing the Lord. Not that the sins themselves are a problem, because it's just like, in other words, giving up an illusory dream. It's still an illusion. It's still a dream. It's not real. So it's only way that the problem with it is because it affects our consciousness. So that's the whole thing. We want to be able to adjust the consciousness, because it's all about consciousness. But so this focus on the material piety or impiety, that's wrong. You know. And then, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nityananda. This takes us up to, what, 300 and something. 357, 358, but those are 500. Something like that. Like 500 verses. And the last part's small.
This is very interesting. Before I was born.
That's so you become purified, so you can understand this. So through austerity, then you
just sit in.
Yes, so then you'll find it. Where Sahotramar's favorite things to read were Vedanta Sutra and 11th Canto. And these are like the most like head cracking, you know, things, but he found them quite pleasurable. You know, he would read those for, you know, fun. You know. No, but it's a matter of you see them in relationship to the Lord, then it's fine. The point is to be able to understand these different levels of that. Otherwise, it's like this. We just take it as Krishna, and we don't necessarily take his position as how special it is. At the same time, as we make a distinction between him and his expansions. So in other words, there's only Krishna. And it's just he takes these different expansions for different pastimes. And now they're also amazing. So but it's all being done by one person. It's not that Nishinga is one person and Raha's another, it's the same person. So all that together still is not as wonderful as Krishna himself. So it does have a purpose, this whole taking us up through, so that we really appreciate what is the position of Krishna. Because the tendency is we don't necessarily appreciate how special Krishna is. That's the idea. So you know, the acharyas, they know all these things, and so then they go through all these things. Because otherwise, then we see as we're going through, one could say, what's the need of such fine dissecting of what's pure devotion? But we see as if you don't, as we go up, the examples, because as you're taking just one part, you see that there's so many aberrations that are there. And as we go on and we get to other parts of it, we'll see that, you know, everything is covered. Anything that anybody does that's not Krishna conscious is covered. In other words, these, if you don't do this aspect, you'll end up with this. In other words, it's a science, not arbitrary. Because we're thinking, I'm free and I'm doing as I want or as I need. Right? This morning, the point of, you know, desire and need. But the point is no, that's just the modes of nature. Modes of nature take you through that. So if you have this particular thing, you'll get this. If you have that particular thing, you'll get that. But we're thinking I'm independent. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like I go up to the vending machine and I put in my coin and I push the button. I got what I wanted. And I, you know, I'm independent. But I had to go to the machine. I had to put in a coin and I had to push the proper button. You know, so where's the independence? But it's designed such a way we feel, oh, I'm so independent. Right? The point is because of our nature, it's not a problem. Because in the pastimes, that'll work as long as it's connected to the Lord. Right? But if that sense of independence is not in connection with the Lord, then it's just a waste of time. So that's the point. So then those so-called independent elements or my needs or, well, I have to have this, but who's this I? That's the whole point. Because the I is not the soul. You know, it'll be claimed that it's spiritual, but it's only spiritual when it's the soul. So therefore, that's why you do the activities recommended by the acharyas, because then even if you still think you're the body, you're still getting spiritual benefit. because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, not what you want to be doing. Right? So the trick is to want to do something that's within the realm of what you're supposed to do. You know, like cleaning up your toys on the floor in your room. Yes.
Does that tendency come with the help of devotees and Krishna?
Means which?
To do what you're supposed to do?
Yes, it's all by association. It's just a matter of, by knowledge, then you understand and you can apply, but that knowledge has to be contemplated and practiced. Otherwise, Ravana had the knowledge, but he couldn't apply it. Because he didn't contemplate it, didn't practice it, because there was that attractive feature that the Lord wasn't there. Does that make sense? So the bottom line is the association of devotees. So as we see, Shishupal actually attained the fruit of his constant absorption in the Lord by the touch of Krishna's devotee, Sudarshan. You know, just like Dhruva Maharaj, by how do you say it? The association of Narada, he was able to get the Lord's, you know, see the Lord. And then further to how to act within that, then the Lord touched his head with the conch. The conch is also one of his devotees. You know, as we were saw that was discussion before, is that who is it? Arjuna. Yudhishthir saw Arjuna with the Lord and Shankachakra Gada Padma in personified forms. So they're people. It's just they take these forms. Is that okay?
Just one more. You were saying that if there's some like offensive mentality, then you get the reaction for that. But if you know,
in other words, you're blaming Krishna for that. But then the whole point is then did we do something right or wrong? You understand? Why would we get a bad reaction if we didn't do something wrong?
Yeah.
So now if we're trying to say that what we did wrong is actually right, wouldn't there be some response for that?
Yeah. I guess what I'm asking is that if you know that, and if you're not the body, for example, the mind, if you're not the mind, and your mind is just doing that out of, like, you know...
It does that, but the point is you're allowing it to do that.
But
just
I'm
like,
trying to stop
just
it,
like
just
the person's not their dog.
Yeah.
But if the dog is running around the neighborhood and you know, biting people and scaring people and you know, and stuff like that, digging holes in people's lawns, still the reaction goes to who identifies with the dog.
Yeah, but the mind.
The point is your mind is the way it is because you cultivated it this way. Maybe you're not
now.
But still, it's what it is. It's just like, let's say, the person, you know, gets on their bicycle and starts, you know, riding down a very steep hill. And so for the first few, you know, seconds, it's quite fun until the speed gets really, really, really fast, right? So then you want to stop it. So then you stop immediately, right? No, it takes a while.
Okay.
And it doesn't mean that while is not scary.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is that if you know that mind that is saying all this stuff is not you and
that's,
you're just ignoring it...
That's good.
But then why are you still getting the reaction if it's
no,
not
no, no,
you?
The point is it's because it's there because who should get the reaction?
Mind.
The mind is dead matter. See it. This is a grosser manifestation. The mind is a subtler manifestation. Point is you're the one who created the monster. Right? In other words, if Frankenstein makes trouble, who gets the blame? Dr. Frankenstein. He created the monster. You understand? But the point is it's not about getting the reaction. The thing is it's about trying to remember Krishna. So in other words, in this, you're worried about the reaction of why that and this and that. Why not that? I'll solve all this by ignoring the mind and remembering Krishna. So if it doesn't, then I'll just keep trying at it until I get it.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out, is how do you stop that? Because just by ignoring, like I did just ignore it, and then it just keeps going with something else. So just let it go.
What do you care?
Because then I'm like, oh no, I'm going to get a reaction. I'm so sorry.
No, but the point is why are you worried about the reaction? Why aren't you worried about that you're ignoring it and you're thinking about Krishna? So then the mind can do whatever it wants. And so therefore, after a while, it'll stop doing that. The mind only does things because you respond.
The reason I'm worried about it is because when I do get a reaction, then it makes me blame Krishna more. And it just keeps going like
that.
But
the point is why are you blaming Krishna? You're the one that's doing the nonsense. Krishna's not doing anything.
Yeah, but now I'm...
You know, but at the same time as you're still doing it.
I know. That's,
you know, if you're in the garage and you're, you know, picking things up and throwing them around and doing all the things like that, and then you want to stop, but you still got a lug wrench in your hand that's, you know, halfway through a windshield, then, you know, what's the meaning? Why is this, you know, someone else's fault? The problem here is you want to blame someone else for what you do. You know, and then in that, you're only worried that it's bad because of the reaction, not because it doesn't please Krishna. The reason there's a reaction, Maya gives you a reaction, because it's not pleasing to Krishna. So the point is to focus on pleasing Krishna rather than, oh, I'm getting a bad reaction, that's bad. So you're looking at the negative rather than the positive. It's about remembering Krishna. And support of that is don't forget. But you're taking don't forget as prominent, and then within don't forget is the reactions you get from forgetting.
Yeah, because it's...
Not yet, yeah, because.
I know, I... Yeah, okay.
You understand?
Yeah, I do.
The point is that, in other words, we think like that, fine, but understand that it's not about the negative, it's about the positive. The negative is there so that the positive will go on. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you have a bowl, a cup, and it's full of ink. You can't put any milk in it. You can put milk, but it's mixed with ink. So the point is the only reason we're worried about dumping the milk out, I mean the ink out, is that we can put milk in it.
Yes.
You know? So the point is the mind is full of ink. Krishna didn't do that. We did it. So you have to be determined, and if you're determined, then Krishna will help.
Okay.
So if you keep blaming him, then it's kind of like, well, what did I do? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Here, look at this. Who made the Shastra?
Krishna.
Who created the Parampara?
Krishna.
Okay, who sends the Acharyas?
Krishna.
Okay, who therefore starts the mission of Krishna consciousness?
Krishna.
Okay, so what is he not doing? You know what I'm saying? So we can understand he's sincere. He's not to blame.
I want Krishna to stop me from blaming him.
Okay, so then just pray for that, and then you practice that, and then it will happen with time.
Because I'm not doing it because I'm getting a bad reaction. I'm doing it because I know that if I get a bad reaction, then I'll keep doing that, and it's a cycle. But still,
it's about bad reaction. Why not? You want to stop blaming Krishna because then that would be nice for him.
Yeah.
Because blaming that has to be the prominence.
Okay.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Don't make the negative the prominence. Negative has to be dealt with, but it's not the prominence. The prominence is the positive.
Okay.
Right? But we're not ignoring the negative.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Okay.
Okay.